Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Meta Infotech Limited H1 FY26 earnings conference call. Please note all participants are currently in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity to ask questions following the conclusion of the management's opening remarks. Please note that this call is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Suyash Samant from Stellar Investor Relations Advisors. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We have with us today the senior management of Meta Infotech Limited, Mr. Venugopal Perri, Chairman and Managing Director, who will represent Meta Info Limited on the call. The management will be sharing the key operating and financial highlights for the half year ended September 30, 2025, followed by a question and answer session. Please note, this call may contain some of the forward-looking statements which are completely based upon the company's beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today. These statements are not a guarantee of the company's future performance and involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. The company also undertakes no obligation to update any forward-looking statements to reflect developments that occur after the statement is made. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Venugopal Perri. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Suresh. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. This is a very special moment for all of us at Meta Infotech. It is our very first investor and analyst call after becoming a listed company, and we're truly delighted to welcome you all. Many of you may be looking at Meta Infotech for the first time. So before we discuss half-yearly performance, I want to take a few minutes to walk you through who we are, how we got here, and where we are headed to. Meta Infotech's journey actually began long before cybersecurity became mainstream priority, which is today. We were founded in 1998, and like many technology companies of that era, our early years were spent building solutions and services around IT infrastructure. But at the end, as the entire world began digitizing, we realized early on that no digital transformation could scale without security transformation. That understanding led to a strategic shift into cybersecurity around 2010. What started as a small vertical within the company gradually evolved into the core of our identity. Over the next decade, we invested deeply in people, technology, partnerships, and customer relationship, eventually establishing Meta Infotech as one of India's leading one-stop cybersecurity solution providers. Today, we are proud to serve more than 87 enterprise customers across 15 plus industries, primarily BFSI, and manufacturing, pharma, FMCG, automobile, real estate, conglomerates. Okay. These are organizations that operate in highly regulated, highly sensitive, and highly uptime environments. And they trust us to safeguard some of the most critical elements of their digital infrastructure. What enables us to do that effectively is our team of more than 310 people, out of which 280 employees are deeply technical cybersecurity professionals, which, by the way, is the highest in the country by any partner. This is a very important distinction because in cybersecurity, technology alone is not enough. Capability lies equally in the hands of people who design, deploy, and sustain it. Our services, of course, sit on top of very wide and mature solution portfolio. Most of you who follow this space would know that cybersecurity is no longer a monolithic product. It is a vast ecosystem with multiple layers. Over the past years, we have built competency across more than 15 solutions categories like SASE, cloud security, endpoint detection and response, application and API security, database security, identity security, SIM, network perimeter. Most of you must be hearing for the first time, but that's fine. So if an enterprise wants to secure its digital environment end-to-end across users, application, network, workloads, clouds, and data, Meta Infotech can be a single strategic partner for them. This one-stop positioning becomes even more powerful because of the strategic relationship we have nurtured with global cybersecurity OEMs. So we work very closely with Zscaler, Palo Alto Networks, Imperva, now it's part of Thales, which I'll talk about later. Proofpoint, Rubrik, Broadcom, CrowdStrike, Kong, Security Source Guard, and a few more others. Okay, these are some of the world's most trusted names in cybersecurity. Typically, we work with only the top vendors, OEMs in that frame. So our partnership goes beyond simple reselling. We work hand in hand with these OEMs for deployment, ongoing management, and optimization of enterprise environments. This is why many OEMs rely on Meta Infotech for large and complex implementations in India. In fact, we have created a platform where vendors want Meta and customers anyway want Meta for due to our history in cybersecurity and the large deployments we have done in India. Typically, primarily more than 100,000 users. We are the only ones in India. Now, while technology forms one part of our stack, the other equally critical part is talent development. Today, if you look at the talent crunch, the gap between demand and supply is 70% gap and 30% supply. Okay, that's the gap which we have currently across the world. The challenge you will hear across the cybersecurity ecosystem globally shortage is talent. To solve this for ourselves and eventually for the industry, we established the Meta Training Center in 2019. Which is accredited by EC Council. We run a structured 6-month program that blends classroom learning, lab training, and on-field service experience. Primarily, it's a 3-month, it's a classroom session, and 3 months is actually at the customer site, okay, once they join Meta. So we have created a platform wherein freshers, they pay money to get trained by Meta, and then when they join after the training, after, of course, going through certain criteria, and then when they join Meta, they're already a trained resource, and we also put them 3 months in customer site, and then we place them at customer site, which is billing, which they become billable. Okay, so this gives us an in-house pipeline of trained cybersecurity specialists, and it also, that's why we do not depend on from the market, because there is no talent ready-made created in the market, so we create our own talent. Okay, and this gives an in-house pipeline of trained cybersecurity specialists, and it also ensures our customers get high-quality implementation and support resources. As we scale, this talent engine becomes a major competitive advantage which we have today. As a result of these investments, our business has grown consistently and strong. Over the past 2 years, our revenue has grown at a CAGR of 42%, EBITDA at 62%, and PAT at 40%. With our healthy return ratio at 33% ROE and 38% ROCE, in FY25, H1 FY26 closed at revenues, which is about 210 crores, which is very close to what we have achieved last year, with an EBITDA of 15.8 crores and a PAT of 10.4 crores. We also have a healthy order book of, which is 514 crores in the next 2 to 3 years. Maximum of this numbers will be completed in next 2 years. Currently about 2.3 times of the financial 25 revenue. So which gives us a strong visibility of the road ahead. And this will keep increasing, okay, every year. So the broader industry backdrop also works in our favor. India's software market is on the track of 100 billion by 2025. But if you look at the cybersecurity market, it is about 5.6 billion in 2025. And it is expected to grow at 12.9 billion. By 2030, with a CAGR of 18.3%. So, in fact, India will be from current 3% to 5% of global market. Okay, India will contribute up to by 2028. Okay, India will be about 5% of global market by 2028. So, cybersecurity in particular is experiencing the rapid expansion due to cloud adoption, identity proliferation, API traffic, remote work, and increasingly sophisticated attacks. Regulations across BFSI and other sectors are tightening. Cloud environments are becoming more complex and organizations are moving towards zero trust models, passwordless authentication, and cyber risk quantification. In short, cybersecurity has moved from being a technical function to a broad level strategic priority. And Meta Infotech is positioned right at the center of the shift. With this context, let me now talk about where we are heading. We want to deepen our presence across India, India's enterprise technology hubs, and significantly scale the services side of our business. Services, particularly managed security, professional services, and implementation are margin accretive, recurring, and create long-term client relationship. Last year, we opened new offices. In fact, we opened new offices in Pune, Hyderabad, Bangalore, and Chennai, and expanded in Bombay with large format office. Okay, we also are setting up a cybersecurity experience center in Andheri East, where customer will be able to engage with solutions in an interactive environment. And by the way, Andheri will also become our training institute. From Thane, we are shifting it to Andheri. Apart from geographical expansion, we have been strengthening our leadership bench. Recently, we welcomed Namrit Deshpande as our CRO / Chief Operating Officer with more than 31 years of global cybersecurity experience and leadership roles across Avante, Cisco, Ironport, Bluecode, McAfee, and Netskope. Ambrish adds significant depth to our go-to-market and execution capabilities. Strong leadership is essential as we scale, and we are excited about what he brings to our organization. Apart from Ambrish, we also have inducted a very senior technical person from retired from ICICI Bank. So he has an experience of 35 years in the industry on the technical side. So we are, in fact, this year, next 6 months, we are going to add another one or two such profiles into our ecosystem. On the capability side, we continue to invest in emerging areas like micro-segmentation, cloud-native application protection, and advanced patch management. AI-led threat detection and zero-trust frameworks are also becoming central to customer conversations, and we are upgrading our competences to be ahead of this curve. All these initiatives, geographic expansion, leadership strength, talent development, and capability enhancement feed into one large objective, building a cybersecurity partner that enterprise can trust for the long time. And through this journey, our focus remains consistently on creating sustainable growth, improving efficiencies, driving profitability, and building shareholder value. H1 FY26 also saw certain increase in cost. These were primarily linked to conscious strategic investments, particularly in talent, new geographies, and scaling up infrastructure to ensure we are future ready. We look at these as investments rather than expenses. We are confident that we will deliver meaningful benefits as our order flows continues to grow. As noted in our financial disclosure, we also faced a foreign currency loss due to delays in customer deal, which I talked about in case if you want to know. But we have now put in place a proactive currency risk management framework, including forward contracts to avoid such volatility and future. And that problem has been taken care of. It has been mitigated and been taken care of. So this will not be repeated in the future. To summarize, FY26 has started a strong note with our highest ever half-yearly revenue, a robust order pipeline, expanding customer base, and solid demand across the major cyber domains. As a newly listed company, this gives us a momentum we need to build the next phase of Meta Infotech, one that combines growth, scale, innovation, and disciplined execution. We are excited about the future. Cybersecurity is no longer a support function. It is a foundation for enterprise survival and competitiveness. And with our experienced partnership team and strategic direction, we believe Meta Infotech is well positioned to play a significant role in shaping this future. Thank you once again for joining us today and for your continued trust. We truly value the opportunity to engage with you, and we look forward to your questions.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yep, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may click on the raise hand icon from the participant tab on your screen. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from Darshit Shah from Step Trade Capital.
Okay.
Please go ahead. Mr. Shah, you may go ahead and ask your question. Mr. Darshit Shah, we've unmuted your microphone. Please ask your question.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Okay, sorry. So, sir, my question, actually, I have two questions. First question on margin front. So, there has been dip by 2% so far as gross margin is concerned, my first question. And second, I want to understand, when I look at FY25, right, so half one is quite heavy and half two is, we can say only 20% revenue is coming from the half two. So, correct. Just wanted to check about your FY26. So, what would be your half two?
See, yes, you are right. My last year, half two was 80-20. That means 80 was in the H1 and 20% in the H2. But this planning was done for the last 1 year. Okay, so today, I would say, since obviously I can't give you numbers, compliance issue. So we are expected to be almost 100% of what we achieved in H1.
Okay, so sir, just
Okay, so that
wanted to
will
check.
change from 80-22, it will change to hopefully 50-50 going forward.
Okay, so just wanted to check about how it is. Means this would be a contractual revenue or how revenue recognition will happen?
So when you say contractual revenue, what does that mean?
So, see, when you enter with the customer, right, to provide a cybersecurity contract. So,
Right.
in case of FY25, we observe that the major chunk of the revenue is coming into H1, right? So,
Right.
just wanted to understand how revenue will be flow. So, obviously, as you mentioned, that 500 CR of the order in hand, okay? So, just wanted to understand how this H2 revenue and
Okay,
upcoming
so
revenue.
500 crores, I will tell you, this is for the next 2 to 3 years. Okay,
Correct.
so this keeps increasing for a year. So, for example, if I do it, consider this as 2 years. So, after 2 years, there will be another 500 or 600 contract which is coming up. So, for us, we are in the subscription model. Our product comes as a subscription model, and sustain is a subscription which is recurring. The only which is not recurring is only implementation revenue which we derive. Okay, rest everything is recurring. Okay, so 500 plus crores is for the next 2 years. Okay, so we are increasing. That's why I said we have increased our number of people. Our number of people have increased from 256 to 310 now, and we have 280 engineers today. Okay, so all the next H1, since we have increased our people, our presence, we have gone from Bombay-based company to we have presence in Pune, Bangalore, Chennai, Hyderabad. Okay, so we are going to, as I said, we are going to have our, we'll try achieving H1, H2, H50.
Okay. So, you mean to say from now onwards, each and every quarter, all half will be equal?
Half will be equal. That's our target. That's our
Okay.
target to achieve. Because we have, as I said, we have ambition place. He will look after the India operations. I will move into, I will also look after India as well as I'll be looking at international business. That is later. Okay, that's for next financial year. But for now, as far as India is concerned, we'll be 50-50.
Okay, understood. And sir, my second question is in terms of the when you mentioned sir 540 CR, so we connected at the time of IPO, right? So you mentioned that the major chunk of the order is coming from the ICICI Bank, correct? So right
True.
now, what is the position?
So currently in H1, that's no change. But now we are increasing our base in terms of now entering into new customer, okay, portfolios, new locations we are getting in. So we will not be an ICICI dependent company. We were never. It's just a
Okay.
coincidence that we had a deal which is good all for Meta, which was a 6 year contract. That's why it looks bigger. Okay, but now we will bring that from 70% to possibly ICICI will contribute to only 30-40%.
Okay. So, sir,
And
out
it is
of
not
five
only one
forty.
solution we are selling it to ICICI. We are selling about half a dozen solutions out there. So because we have that kind of inroads out there and the trust created in the over period of last 12 years, 24, 14 years, so they prefer Meta over any other partner.
Okay. And sir, how much is contributed by ICICI Bank out of this 540?
540 is the future, right?
But just
Yeah, five.
we.
Okay, so I would say about 50%.
Okay, 50%.
Yeah,
Okay, understood. Understood.
we'll bring it down to 30 going
Okay.
forward.
Okay, sir.
So that
Understood.
means we are not reducing the number business with ICICI Bank, but the percentage will increase by increasing the other businesses,
Other customer and
other
other
customers.
business.
Yes.
Understood. Understood. Thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Dashit.
Thank you. Our next question is from Gaurav Jain of ICICI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead. Mr. Jain, could you please unmute your mic and ask your question?
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, hi, sir. My question is on balance sheet, sir. We are seeing trade receivables having increased and also trade payables having increased. Can you explain what has that led to?
We couldn't understand your question because you are breaking in between, I guess.
Sir, if it
You're
is
breaking.
possible now, as on September 20.
Hello?
Mr.
Sir,
Jain,
any
we
better
would
now?
request you to repeat your question, please.
Sir, is it audible now?
Yes.
Audible, right?
Yes.
Sir, as on September 25, both trade payables and trade receivables have increased meaningfully. So trade receivables is at 198 crore and payables is at 143 crore.
Normally we do this ICICI bank deal, right? This is worth 120, 230 crores. So because of dollar fluctuation, and then we started renegotiating with the customer. Okay. So that's where the complete negotiation to mitigate the problems for future billings. So it took us almost 4 to 5 months to close that particular issue. Okay, that's why it is showing as possibly trade receivable and trade billing. Paresh, is that right?
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. So did we answer your question?
Yeah, yeah. Second, sir.
Yeah, by the way, you are my customer actually.
Second, sir, on the order book side, this 500 odd crore of order book,
right,
what is the split between the products and services part of it?
So I would say 70-30.
Okay.
In fact, 70-30. Yeah, correct. Yeah, right. See, there are two recurring business which we get. Okay. So mostly the contracts are signed for at least 3 years, minimum 3 to 5 years. Only in one certain case, it's about 6 years. Otherwise, normally it's 3 to 5 years contract. And it is automatically renewable. Okay, so there are two. One is the product, it's not a product, it's a subscription. Okay, it's a service offered by the vendor, which is recurring in nature. And because it's all cloud-based solutions, right? And the sustenance, which our people go and manage customer infrastructure, whatever we are deployed. So that is recurring year on year.
Sure, got it.
And then typically it is 8 to 10% we get year-on-year increase in terms of our contract value.
Got it, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We move to our next question from Akash Jain from Vijit Global Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead, Mr. Jain.
Yeah, sir, my question is regarding this order book. As on date, the order book is around 514 crores. So, what was the order book at the time of the IPO?
It was 500, and if I remember, it was about 570 or 580 crores.
Okay.
So, we have added, because we have billed, right? Out of which we have billed 120 crores of one of the banks. Okay. And then we have also added new projects.
So, these orders are from which bank, like ICICI or other banks as well?
Yeah, it's overall. There's not one particular bank, but all my customers, because most of the, as I said, every contract is 3 to 5 years for us.
Okay. So what was the addition like after 580 crores order book after the IPO?
It has been about, I would say about 70 to 80 crores, 70 per 80 crores. Yeah, 70 to 80 crores.
We have added post IPO.
Yes. So, because we have reduced 120 from 580. So approximately, yes.
Okay. And sir, regarding this foreign currency loss of 5.3 crores, could you elaborate on the same, like it was?
I'll tell you what has happened is, because when the billing happened from Zscaler, it was at 55. And by the time we bill, we receive the order from the customer and all that, which we take about 2-3 weeks, the conversion shot up by almost 50. At that time, it was 58-59. Okay, so suddenly. And then we went back to the customer. Okay, we had an understanding that, and if it goes beyond 55, obviously they will take care. So, but that management, the earlier management has changed, the new management has come. So to prove them that this is the discussion which we happened 3 years back, and this is the understanding we had 3 years back, and to get the approvals from top management, because it's a matter of a couple of crores, right? And then to mitigate the problem for the rest of the contractual years. So it took us 4 to 5 months. That's why there is when we booked and when we actually paid. So there is a difference of 5 crores, which is it's not a technical loss, but yes, we have mitigated the loss.
And sir, what was the total quantum of that deal that caused this loss?
120 crores. 120.
Okay, 120
So that
crores.
has been taken care now. It's a superficial loss, but yes, that has been taken care.
And this some impact has been passed on. So what is the impact that has been passed on to the customer?
Impact, customer is taking the hit, right? Of almost, I would say, about 4 crores.
Okay, so
They have
five.
indicated their issue. So for us, we see the two things which we two things which is which happened in the last in H1. Okay, why the there is a dip in the PAT in spite of doing well on the top line is primarily one is ICICI, which contributed to technically it is about 3 crores. Plus, there is one vendor called Imperva, which we were the biggest partner for them in Asia. So that company got sold to Thales. There's a company called Thales, French company. And due to that buyout and the transition phase, and of course, whenever you buy a company, there are a few people, top leadership leaves that company, okay, and then joins a summer company. So that took us almost 1 year, where we actually did 4 crores of billing, professional services billing through Imperva last year, which we didn't get this year because of this migration, okay, and integration. So we lost about 7 crores overall. What we did last year in comparison to what we did. If we had done all these things, our PAT would have been 50 plus today. So that is the reason, that is the sole reason you are seeing a dip in the PAT. But now things are in place. Now we are expecting that another couple of crores of PS business, which will restart again in H2.
And sir, regarding this debtors issue, like debtors in H1 FY26 stood at 199 crores as against 22 crores in FY25, which is an increase of
That's because
around.
we couldn't bill, right?
We could not bill.
Yeah.
Okay. So when would be the realization of the same?
It's done. It's already done. We have billed and we got the money paid, the vendor, everything is closed.
Okay. So that would be
So that has
reflected
been
in.
taken care. It is just for because of the numbers on the balance sheet, this is showing, but everything has been taken care. So next year, say, we will not have any such losses.
Okay. And sir, regarding the expansion to new locations, Pune,
Right.
Hyderabad, Bangalore, so the business is operational from those centers or it is still in investment mode?
No, we are, see, we have people in place. Okay, we are increasing number of people also. But I'm not expecting great results because new location for us. We have to establish ourselves. Not, I would. I'm sure people don't know about Medha Infotech. We are primarily very famous in West. But not in South. Okay, so we are building that credibility there, or our name and vendors. Between vendors, we are very, very famous. But yeah, we are conveying that message. What we have achieved in Bombay and what we can do for them. So I'm expecting them to fire from next financial year. So I'm not considering their numbers this year.
Because the fixed cost will then hit the OPMs in H2 as well.
That's fine because this is all an investment. As I said in my presentation, it was very clear. This year for me is investment year. Okay, but in spite of our investment here in terms of people, we have brought CRO and CEO, very high profile guys. Okay, he's from the vendor side. So because of that kind of investment, we are building that foundation, a very strong foundation for the next 3 to 5 years. So what we do today will show results big time next year and next, I would say next 3 to 5 years.
Mr. Jain, I'm sorry to interrupt. May we request you to
Okay.
return to the queue, please?
Okay,
You may
I will return.
rejoin for follow-up, please.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll move to our next question from Vinay Lakhera from Ratnatraya Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, Vinay.
Mr. Vinay Lakhera, you may ask your question now. Your connection is unmuted.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah,
Yes.
Vinay, hi.
Yeah, hi sir. So, congratulations on good set of numbers. So I just had a few questions.
Sure.
So for like according to my understanding, like for example, we have two parts of the business, right? One is the product part and the other one is the services part.
Correct.
So in this, like for example, if we take September 24 or March 20, like September and March 25 numbers into consideration, like the H1 and H2.
Right.
So, is there any seasonality in the business? Like, for example, if in H1, do we do more product of more sales for product and less of services, or like how it is distributed over the two halves?
See, services is primarily remains constant. Okay, that keeps increasing
Okay.
year on year. Okay, but because of one particular order, which is the biggest, right? Which is 120 crores, that comes in H1. And because of that, all our calculation goes for a toss. So
Okay,
it
got
shows
it.
that product we are doing very high, but I don't think we'll. This is the second largest deal in the world. We are the
Okay.
top five partners for Zscaler. So this will not happen again in India or in even in Asia for that matter. Okay, so we will not have that. That's why that will remain constant and we'll keep building, bringing in new. We are also signed up with so many new vendors now. Okay, and then we'll bring in new customers. We have a different strategy, go to market and everything. So purely because of one particular deal, our PAT margin goes down. Okay, or is I wouldn't say whether it's low or not. That's up to you to decide. But yes, but if I remove that, trust me, my PAT margin will be 15 plus.
So in this, like how is the revenue realized? So for example, if we have an order, so how is it realized? Is it over the years or like because like if you have one particular deal in September 25 numbers, so why is it showing like greater value over there? So like how the revenue is realized, basically, I was trying to
So
understand.
we did a 120 crores of revenue with ICICI Bank and the rest came from other customers.
Okay, so is it like okay, got it,
Yeah, so
and.
we keep increasing the number of customers, right? So the new projects coming up. So
Okay.
that will remain constant. Okay, 120 will remain constant and we'll keep increasing the new ones. So this is given next 3 years, this
Okay,
contract
so it's like a recurring kind of thing. So
is
we're
a recurring.
already.
Yeah, recurring. So it's going to be recurring. And then our recurring business is very, very high.
Okay. So in, on the on side of COGS, like for example, what kind of COGS do we consider in the services business? So like if you can elaborate on that part.
What kind of?
COGS do we take into the services business? Like in the gross profit margin, we see there was a significant difference. So like it was 16.4 in September 24. Yeah.
So that will continue as long as we are doing product, that will continue to be the same percentage.
And
That's increasing. That's also, as I said, sustenance is a recurring business for us.
okay. So what kind of like a sustainable EBITDA margin we can have in this particular business, like a blended kind of margin mix of both product and sales moving forward?
See, EBITDA margins until now it's been between 9 to 11%, right?
Okay, yeah.
So yeah, you can consider that as base, okay, and it will only increase because we are increasing our services portfolio.
Okay, so services the margins would be higher.
So services is our main focus. We are a services organization. Product is just a byproduct. See, I'll tell you, in India, customers do not segregate two orders. One is product and one is services, right? So we our focus is our approach to the customer services.
Okay, got it.
Okay, so services will keep growing. Due
Also
to our
like
training institute, we will keep adding. We have 280 engineers. Maybe by March, we should be about 320 engineers.
Okay.
Okay, every year we would add about 50 to 75 engineers every year. But that's the kind of business which is there.
Okay, got it. So also like as you mentioned, like it's a growing industry and fairly new for us as well. So I just wanted to get an understanding of the competitive landscape, like within India, how are we competing with other players? And so according to my understanding, like correct me if I'm wrong, there's some sort of stickiness also in this business. Like for example, if there's a first mover, he'll be getting the advantage of like sticking with the customer for a longer period of time. So how are we doing that in the in that space, like according to players?
Cybersecurity is, as you said, you correctly said, rightly said that it's a sticky business. Okay, you can't just buy cybersecurity solutions from everyone. Today I buy from this partner, and next day I'm going to change, or next day I'm going to change. It's not going to happen. It should not happen, and it'll never happen because it's cybersecurity is purely based on the services, the solutions what you. And it's very critical to an organization. An organization can actually go down just because of one attack.
Exactly,
So choosing, especially since we deal with only large enterprise AAA customers, most of our customers, or rather I would say 100% of our customers are AAA customers. And more, and then we normally do not have customers who have less than 15,000 users in West, at least. Okay.
Okay.
Most on an average, my number of users, that means number of employees per customer is 25,000.
And like any comments on the competitive landscape, like who all are the other
See,
competitors we are
I
competing with?
see if you look at most of 99.99 or 99%, let me be more modest. percentage of the so-called cybersecurity partners are system integrators. When I say system integrators, that means they will sell you a laptop, a keyboard, a mouse, and cybersecurity solutions. So they sell everything under the sun.
Okay.
Cool. Okay. So they have a menu card of 50 vendors or 50, 70 vendors, and they just go to the customer and say, hey, this is my vendor list, and tell me what you want. Okay. This is how everybody is selling today. Okay. In cybersecurity, typically nobody, no other partner is selling. It's a vendor who's selling. Okay. And then you can do a research in terms of how many metas are there in Meta in India. India needs at least 50 metas, but unfortunately, there's only one.
Okay.
So, Vinay Lakhera.
Only competition is IBM Wipro because we are killing them because they get orders because of their name. But when it comes to quality, they all fail. You can talk to any of our customers. If you can talk to any other customer, ask them how well IBM and Wipro is doing.
True.
In terms of quality.
Okay, so got it.
I hope I have able to answer your question.
Yeah, it was pretty clear. Okay. I had a few more questions, like maybe I'll get back into the Q&A.
Well, you can obviously, I think, shoot questions to them.
Yeah.
And then I'll be more than happy to answer.
Yeah, sure. I'll just get back in the queue. If the time permits, I'll ask more questions.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. Okay.
Thank you. Before we take our next question, we'd like to request participants, in the interest of time, please limit your questions to two per party. Time permitting, you may come back in the queue for a follow-up question. Our next question is from Ishan Gokhale from Credent Asset Management. Okay. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, so as you mentioned right now that Wipro, LTI, companies like this, they have an ability to cross-sell the product in the sense that when they're doing the application management service and application development management right. for companies, they also cross-sell their cybersecurity services. So I'm just trying to understand the kind of competitive edge that we have over these companies. What is the real competitive edge that we have where a company will select a Meta over an LTI metric?
Okay, so LTI was my customer. Okay, TCS is my customer. We had done world's biggest implementation in TCS way back in 2015. That was for a proxy solution, cybersecurity solution, for 450,000 users. Okay, so TCS themselves depend on Meta for their internal network. So most of this cybersecurity solution which they provide is for international market. These are the guys, they don't sell in India. Okay, they don't sell cybersecurity solutions in India. So their primary focus is on international business. So typically, they're not a competition to me. In fact, for the internal network, they would take services from me.
Understood. So, including Wipro.
Including Wipro, they approached us 7 years back. They wanted us to take the entire infrastructure for proxy infrastructure. But after realizing, we did a survey, and then after realizing the fact that the earlier partner, whoever has implemented, has actually done a very, very bad job. So for us to implement and sustain the project would have taken another best of our technical resources would be there engaged for the next 6 months just to do the re-implementation of the entire thing, redo the entire implementation and then get into sustenance. So we rejected that project.
So my understanding is that they kind of subcontract the same to you, whatever project it may be. My second question was about the training and development.
Right.
Are we launching a kind of an institute or is it just an initial pipeline for just our company where they just want to join our company after being trained? Or is it a holistic, they get trained and they also join other companies, etc.? What is the kind of business model that?
In fact, when we started in way back in 2019, that was our objective, to have an institute where after the training, we will take whoever we want, or we will take the cream and the rest, I will place it in the industry. But the first batch itself, 17 people, we picked up everyone. Okay. So, and then after that, rest is history. I mean, today, whoever I train, I need them. In fact, we are taking not only from our training institute, we are taking from the industry, the CCNA certified guys. We have certain agencies who supply all CCNA certified guys. In the last 6 months, I think we have about 40 people who are joined, apart from our training institute.
Absolutely. That's all from me.
Yeah, so that's how it is.
Thank you. We take our next question from Abhishek Sharda from Hame Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir.
Yeah.
Audible? Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, First of all, I would like to know our
Sorry, sir, your voice is
26, 27,
slightly
and 28.
breaking.
Is it fine now?
Yeah, just hold the microphone a little
Hello?
closer to you. Go ahead, sir.
So I just want to know the FY next 2-3 years revenue growth and profitability guidance.
So, see, we are targeting, I'm sure, because I have compliance issue, I can't give you numbers. But I can say we would be targeting something about 50% of what we will achieve in this year, this financial year, for the next 1 year. I mean,
50%.
of course, we can also, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what numbers to give. I have the numbers in my
No,
mind.
any ballpark figure, what is our vision? Like, I don't want the exact number,
Vision,
but what
next
is our
3 to 5 years, we are poised to touch 5 times of our current numbers. 4 to 5 times.
Okay. Is it fair? 4 to 5 times of our current number in next 5 years.
3 to 5 years, yeah. 5 years, I would say, yeah.
Okay, sir, and any short-term guidance like what we are looking in FY 26 and FY 27?
I don't know what numbers. I'm very new to this, listing and stuff
Oh,
like that.
like if you understand like
But you
this
can
way, in
consider, see, you can
2027.
always consider 35, 30, 30, between 30 to 40% growth a year on year.
35 to 40%, what we have
Thank
achieved
you.
in the history, we can continue that.
We will continue. Okay, and see, you need to understand, we are a purely cybersecurity player. And trust me, these numbers doesn't include firewall business. Firewall is a I would say about 6 to 7 thousand, almost $1 billion business in India. And that is also part of cybersecurity. And we are not even touched that. Because firewall is something which everybody does. So we are in a very, very niche segment of solutions and services which we provide. We don't even sell antivirus if you look at, because this is what you understand, right? So we are not even there in the 70% of the business of cybersecurity. We are playing at the 30%, which is very, very niche. So the moment if I just want numbers, then I can just sell firewalls and then I can grow my numbers. But that's not our objective. We want to give what others don't get, others cannot give, and we want to give what customer needs today.
Okay, sir. And the sustainable EBITDA margin you have given is 9 to 11%.
Yes, that's the baseline.
So, can we achieve this 9% EBITDA margin in FY 26? Or due to
That's.
investments in FY 26, our margins will be slighter on the
Yeah,
lower
it will
side?
be. Yeah, there's a 9 to, I would say, why not 13%?
No, like in first half, we did a 7.5% EBITDA margin. So, to like achieve 9% EBITDA margin for the whole year, we really need to improve our
Yes,
performance in H.
we have plans in place. Okay, certain things I can't disclose, but you can consider it will only increase. So the first half this year, please consider one thing. I want to make it very clear. This year, consider as a investment year for me. Okay, investment year is not in infrastructure or something like that. It's all purely people, and our business is on people. Okay, so we are going to bring in maybe one or two more high-profile executives into the system. So we are creating a very, very strong foundation, and there are lots happening in Meta, which obviously I can't disclose. But yes, you can consider a good growth.
So we are factoring into all the investments, and we are like poised to achieve 9%
Oh yeah,
EBITDA
exactly.
margins
So
in
this is the
this.
foundation we are making, creating it for not even this
Right.
year, and next year, next 2-3 years, 3-4 years, we have big numbers in mind.
And sir, sorry, sir, I missed the earlier part in which you mentioned that H1 and H2, there is no seasonality. But like you said, 120 crore is a recurring revenue from ICICI.
That's only one customer.
That's only. So I think if we remove 120 crore, it will be a 72 crore revenue from the sale of products. So this, we should get a growth on this 72 crore in H2, right?
Yes, my H2 would be at least 50% of what we did in H1, top line.
H2 would be 50% of H1.
Yeah.
And the product and revenue mix will be better.
That
It will
will,
be increased
yeah, that
towards
will
service.
remain almost the same. Okay.
Yes.
Or it can only get better. It cannot go down.
So any vision, what would be the product and service mix in next year?
See, it used to
Currently is 80-20, so what will be
Yes.
the
So that will either remain or it will become 75-25. Because since our revenue, our product revenue is high, okay, and that's why it doesn't show, but we are increasing our services revenue as well.
And this is 120 crore recurring revenue. Till when it will recover? Till when it will recover?
It's a 6-year contract, 3 years is done, another 3 years. And we are also possibly signing another big contract with Axis Bank. So whenever it happens, we'll declare it.
That's a great news. So, sir, like in
That will be for next
till
6 years, by the
H2.
way.
Oh, that's amazing. So, sir, till H2 FY28, in every like till FY28 in every H1, we will get a 120 crore revenue from ICICI Bank. Is this
Oh, that's yeah,
understanding?
that is given. In fact, more. It'll keep every year ICICI Bank will increase the revenue.
So for next 2-3 years, our H1 will be heavy only.
We can consider that heavy matlab is not going to be 80% and 20%. So we are going to our target is to achieve about 50-50, H1, H2.
Mrs. Sharda, may we request you to return to the queue, please, as there are several participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. We'll move to our next participant. That's Pushkar Jain of Millie AIF. Please go ahead.
Hi, so there's some confusion regarding what were the H2 numbers you said about that it would be 50% of H1's revenue or the mix would itself go 50-50, implying 100% of H1's revenue.
H1, 50% of H1.
Okay, so that just the mix would be like 75-25 in H1, H2.
It will be higher than that.
Right, 60. No, right, I got it, but eventually it would be 50-50.
Eventually, yes, that's in next 1-2 years. We'll achieve the 50-50.
Right.
See, till now
And
we are dealing with only two vendors predominantly. Okay, now this year we are going to focus on six vendors as of today. These are big vendors.
right.
Okay, so we are increasing the number of locations, we are increasing the number of vendors, our solution portfolio. We are
Right.
increasing the number of people on the sales and technical.
Right. So currently H2 could be like 50% of H1, but eventually it would be like 50-50, like H1, H2. That is the
Yeah,
broader
eventually that's
understanding.
our target. That's our
Right. And sir,
goal.
can you quantify in amount terms, like what were one-offs in this quarter that resulted into like a 8% margin EBITDA at EBITDA level? Are there any quantifiable one-offs?
I mean, 8% margin as against last year 10%. So we are reduced. So there is no quantifiable. What do you mean by quantifiable? That has
No,
got
no. So
at least two.
exactly. So
Yeah,
from 10 to we went to
I
8.
just said ki last year what we did and what we didn't get in the H1 is 7 crores. Okay.
Sorry?
The what we did last year, what
Right.
recurring business which we would have done last year and last 2 years and which we didn't get this year in H1 is about 7 crores.
Right, exactly. So
Yeah,
just
so
7
if I
crore.
had got those businesses, because of it happens, right? Once in a Imperva was sold after 8 years of operation, I mean, after almost 12 years of operations. Okay.
Right.
So this just a coincidence, or maybe just incidental or unfortunate, they bought about 6 months back. So because of that, it takes normally any company which is sold takes about 1 year to get back into shape again.
Right.
Because integration and stuff like that, people leaving, new people coming in, all that. So all this thing takes about 1 year. So since we are the biggest part of us, Imperva in whole of Asia, so we're going to do our numbers from now going forward. In fact, apart from Imperva, we have there's a company called Thales who picked up Imperva. So now we have doubled up. Now we have Thales as well as Imperva,
Right.
two different solutions.
Right.
So
But because
if
of
we were doing, for example, 1 crore with Imperva, I would possibly do 1.5 to 2 crores with Thales and Imperva together.
Right. So better solutions also,
Oh
more
yeah, of course.
options.
These are the Thales is a solution which every bank uses
Right.
worldwide.
Right. So if this takeover would not have happened, we would have probably
We
done
would have
a.
been, yeah, we would have my PAT would have been 15.
Right. That's what I wanted to know. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, sure. Thanks.
Thank you. We take the next question from Girish Kumar from Valpro. Please go ahead.
I think
Girish.
my questions have been answered, so I could go back to you.
Perfect.
Thank you. Next question is from Gagandeep Goyal of Anandan Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, I wanted to ask, like, we had some one-off expenses, right, including foreign exchange losses and all. So can you quantify what total amount it was, like 10 crores, 15 crores, and what would be the PAT number if those losses have been added into the PAT?
As I said, my PAT would have been 15 plus if I had not considered that ICICI Bank fiasco wouldn't have happened. It is not a fiasco, but it's just that it's a dollar fluctuation. Okay, so it was earlier 85, then it went up to 88, almost 88.7. Okay, so that's because, and but we have mitigated that issues for the rest of our life. Now we're not going to lose any foreign currency exchange with the customer.
Okay, so the next is like how are we looking at the margins for the next 3 to 5 years? Like, will be always staying at around 9 to 11% EBITDA, or we will be ever moving to 20 or 25%? I just wanted to ask, like, whether there's a room for growth in the margins in that
Yeah,
sense.
see, it will grow. It will definitely grow because in by next financial year we are going to start our international business. Okay, my focus is going to be building the international business. That's purely is going to be services, not no products. Okay, there the margins are much higher, 3x and minimum 3x of what we are achieving here for the similar cost. Okay, so we are going to do that. Plus our locations have increased. Plus we are going to start Delhi as well. Okay, so we are going to cover the entire India plus international business. So the EBITDA PAT margins will increase.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. See, the reason I'll tell you for everyone is the product I do because we make a decent 7% on an average product margin, which is recurring in nature. So why should I leave that 7% of margin, right? So that's why, and there is no rocket science in selling the product. It's just a mail, okay? So there is no hardware, there's no software, nothing. It's just a subscription. So the order comes in mail, invoices in mail, delivery, there's nothing called delivery. Okay, so this is a very easy business. Products. That's why we do product, and that's why because of that product, the EBITDA and the PAT margins look smaller.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from Rishi Maheshwari of AXA Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi Venu, can you hear me?
Yeah, yes, yeah, loud and clear.
Hi, congratulations on the listing and good on the first earnings. My idea was to understand the future journey. You mentioned on the call that there have been 6 deals that you are currently working on. And second part of it is to have an international expansion
Right.
on both fronts, one of which is the 6 deals that you're working on. Obviously, there's proof of concept in India that you've gone through. And then you've
Right.
seen, and people would have presumptions that you've handled the size of deals that you've done with ICICI, you can do it in India as well. So
Yeah.
what are the next size of deals that you generally look to acquire
See,
and some things that you do not wish to acquire, anything below a certain size that you do not wish to acquire?
no, because we go by customer. Okay, so we target about 50 customers. The new strategy, we are going to top 50 customers is what we are going to concentrate on, where 80 to 85% business of the will come, and the rest 15% will come from the next set of 50 customers, those who are less than 15,000 users. So anything 15,000 users strategically, and the customers who need it and who has the money to pay, we are a premium service provider. Okay, so I don't know where did I mention 6 deals which I'm working on, but that's not right. So this is not six, and there is, I'm not quantified number of deals we are working on. We are working on a lot of deals, okay, which obviously I can give numbers, but but this is one-off case. If you can imagine, this is the second largest deal in the world with ICICI Bank, so it will never happen again in India. Okay, but at this scale, but there are deals with other banks, which is maybe one third of these numbers, okay, which we are trying to enter into again. Our focus is customers. We choose our customers where we can do at least about 10 to 15 crores of annual billing.
Right, that's helpful. Secondly, on the international front,
Yes.
now the usual practice for most Indian IT services providers or cybersecurity solution providers is that you take a lot of time in terms of conversions because there is obviously a high-end relationship manager who is first needs to be hired. There is obviously a sales cycle that comes across with it. And then you start with $100,000, $200,000 kind of projects, and then subsequently over a period of time that is how you scale up. How do you intend your journey? How do you see your journey?
Good question, actually. So what we do is we don't go direct to the customers.
Okay,
we will go through the vendors which we deal with. We are professional services partners for the vendors which we deal with in India.
Okay.
They will take us to their locations and with their partners. So we don't interact with the customers directly. So we work with the vendor and then the vendors will take us to the partners and to the customers.
Okay.
So our journey, the sales cycle is much easier because we're not selling anything. So we are just executing a project which is already sold. For example, there's an implementation or a systems project coming from Dubai. I'm not doing anything in the sales side. So once the project is closed or maybe at the closure level, that's when they will involve us for the implementation. So my people from here in India will travel to Dubai, execute the projects and come back. So there is no delay in project execution.
Okay. So as for you at this point in time, there's no intention to hire high maintenance or high cost sales representatives that you may have to take on board. At this point in time, your channel is really built in form of the vendors that you are going through. Is
correct.
That
with Amrish joining in, we have no intention to bring in any sales. I'm a sales guy, typical sales guy. Okay. So, and then we have about a good 13 sales team right now. Okay. And the only thing which we are going to increase in is in terms of senior resources on the consulting side. Okay. Who can design solutions and all that. So likewise, we have picked up someone from ICICI Bank. He's a retired technical, 35 years in ICICI Bank. He's a very highly technical guy. And then he knows ICICI Bank in and out. He knows, he's from the customer side. All these partners like us, we only talk from partners perspective, right? So we do not, customer are, of course, comfortable talking to us, but you know, when we have someone who's from the customer side, okay, like Datta Prasad is actually from the customer side. So customer connect with him easily and they trust him more than trust a partner like us, right? Because he understands their problem because he's the guy who implemented Blue Code and Zscaler in ICICI Bank. Okay, so he was part of, not my Meta's team, but he was part of the technology team which we implemented. So he's the guy who joined us. So we want to bring in another one or two such profiles into Meta, where we will put them at the, you know, forefront of the customer when we talk about solutions, solutions, not even services, solutions, or designing of a solution.
I get that. Thanks so much. This is very detailed and all the best to you.
Thank you so much.
Listed journey. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Sanjeev Pandya from Lancers Impex Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Can I be heard?
Oh, yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Okay,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I got answers to some of my big picture questions. I'm focused a little, you know, longer, say over a 5-7 year horizon. So many of the nuances have got dealt with in your previous answers. But one thing, since I'm new to the industry, could you just take me through? Let's go to your customer's, you know, application. What is your customer looking at? And can you just tell us about the nature of threats that the customer, you know, I'm trying to get a fix on your total addressable market and the, you know, how the nature of threats are evolving and how you will get your differentiators as those threats evolve. So let's say, maybe I'm wrong, but the metaphor I use is, let's say it's a security service, very similar to the physical, you know, security, the security guard business. The nature of the threat can be, let's say, anything. Now, could you just expand that anything for me? What all kinds of threats, especially in a post-AI world, and then how technologies could evolve and how you would be able to differentiate in that emerging world?
Okay, so threats is happening every day, every second. So I can't name the bank, but one of the top banks have been attacked 15,000 times a day. Okay, so these kind of attacks, which now, of course, they're mitigating it. They have enough infrastructure, security infrastructure. First of all, you can't compare that physical security than cybersecurity. Cybersecurity can happen from anything. I can actually get into your house. Okay. If you have a, you know, camera, TV with camera, I can get into your TV, open a camera and see what's happening in your house. Okay. So today you can enter into a house or infrastructure or a customer from anywhere. Anywhere, literally, I can enter through an IoT with an AC. I can enter through your mobile. I can get to your mobile, which is connected with the same network, and you know, hack into your system. So there is unlimited. I would say, limited. I could say, but like, yes, almost. You can't even imagine how threats happen or how attacks happen or from which path they take. Okay, so that's happening big time with AI. Okay, if you're thinking that AI will solve cybersecurity problems for the customers automatically.
No, not solve, make it worse. I just saw that Anthropic, you know, Swarm Security, where they used AI to crack open, a few places in the US. So those kind of swarm attacks.
Yeah, so there are attacks which is getting very, very, very complicated now. AI is only helping the attackers to make it. You can become a hacker, actually. You can buy services from hacker.
Okay.
So
the next part
are getting
of my
very
question.
Complicated. Huh. Okay. It's becoming easier as well. Okay. So it's imperative that for customers have to secure the environment, because today everything is digital. Smallest of the companies to the largest of the companies is all digital. So the business is relying on digital. Okay. So one attack can bring a company down completely. The production can go down. Okay, the company and banks can go down. Okay, so
in this emerging, what would be the mitigation technologies and how do you fit in there?
So mitigation is buying the right tool. Okay, so it's like buying an Apple or an Android. Android, you can hack into easily. Apple is I won't say impossible, but quite difficult. Okay, you buy the right tool, and buying the tool is just one part of it, which is the most easiest part. The biggest challenge it comes is implementation and the way your implementation. I normally say there are two kinds of implementation. One is a vanilla implementation and another implementation which shows value, which gives value. Today, all the implementation which is happening today, okay, in the world possibly is our vanilla implementation, because partners are not interested in showing them the value. Okay, how many cybersecurity partners are there in India? You can count on your fingertips. True cybersecurity partners. Okay, maybe 3, 4, 5. Okay, so we are mitigating because through the services, through the talent which we have, we create it and we provide it to the customer. We manage 24/7 support, we manage the infrastructure 24/7 with many of the banks.
So can I imagine you more as a kind of a SAP consultant? You know, once in, you stay embedded for life. I mean, I have to expose my process documentation to you and then load it onto your system. So now the AMC part of your revenues, mm-hmm, will be higher than your installation charge. I mean, is there a kind of a Trojan horse that you with which you enter a client? And then I can imagine, you know, ballooning sort of revenues from that particular client.
Example is one of the customers we started with. I was just giving a small example of all the solutions we have sold. We sold a solution called Imperva for 1.2 crores today, about 7-8 years back. Okay, so and today the same customer have invested about 40 crores and is placing another 11 crores of orders. So that's how we enter and then expand. We cross sell, upsell. Okay, on the same vendor, and then we also bring in other vendors as well, right? So cybersecurity is an ocean. There's a start, but there's no end. And what we are touching is tip of the iceberg. What are the solutions which we are providing to the customers? It's an ocean, complicated ocean. So, and then the only differentiation is how the quality of your services are. Okay. And what's your focus? Is it services or products?
Mr. Pandya, maybe request you to return to the queue. There are several participants waiting for their turn.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll move to our next question from Jigar Gogri, an investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. I have only one question.
Okay.
Can you share the targeted year for achieving the debt-free balance sheet?
Sorry? Can we?
Means, what is the management timeline for reducing the debt to zero?
Debt to zero. I would, Paresh, are you there?
Means right now, debt to equity
is
almost 0.4 or something, 0.44. Na? So by which year does the company expect to become debt-free company?
We are a debt-free company, actually. Paresh, would you like to answer this question?
Yeah, actually, the debt is very minimum
Okay.
as compared to the equity, and the
Okay.
ratio is going to be very less.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question is from Akash Jain of Vijit Global Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, coming back to the forex loss, I just wanted to understand the mechanism. Like ICICI Bank is the domestic customer. So dollar fluctuation, could you explain like what is the mechanism?
Okay, so we buy directly from Zscaler.
Okay.
We are the only three partners in India where we can buy directly from Zscaler. So there is a distributor. We don't buy from distributor. Because if I buy from the distributor, I have to share possibly 3% of my margin with them. 2 to 3% of margin.
Okay.
So that's why there was a forex loss, which is more superficial, but yeah, there is.
Okay, so there was a, you can say, negotiation with ICICI Bank.
Correct, because we closed it at 85 and the dollar was 88, so we went back to the ICICI Bank and started negotiating on the dollar fluctuation. Okay,
Okay.
and the person who closed 3 years back, he was not there. So there's a new guy who's coming in, and we have to show them the proofs and stuff like that and take an approval from the management. So the going forward, it is going to be on spot rate.
Okay.
There is no forex loss now going forward.
Okay. And the 7 crore which we were going to receive like PAT, it would have been 15 crores. So now what is your expectation on that 7 crores?
We are back. Okay, ICICI Bank is one of case. Okay, the last and the company which got sold Imperva to Thales. Now they are back in action. The gestation time of 1 year is done. Okay, now we are poised to do about 3 to 4 crores of again the services with the same vendor in next 6 months.
Okay, so that 7 crores which we have foregone, that would come back in H2
Yes, that not. 7 crores typically because ICICI Bank is just one in a year, right? So
or... Okay.
H2 will bring in that 3 to 4 crores of services revenue additional,
Okay. And
which
which
was
are
there
the...
last year anyway.
Okay. And which are the other banks which we have, like apart from
So
ICICI?
I don't know because I was told I can't normally supposed to
Okay.
but you
Okay.
can say 85% of my 80% of my customers are BFSI. You name the clients, they are there. Top, maybe I would say top 15 customers, top 15 banks invest.
Okay. And sir, just wanted to understand like the seasonality. Is there any seasonality kind of in your business? Like H2 is light, it's 25% of your total revenue, you said earlier.
Yeah.
So we would expect this kind of business, or it
No,
would.
I have also already answered earlier.
That 50-50 that
Yeah, so
eventually
we are
you
going to go, we are going to touch. This year would be about maybe 60-40 or 65-35, but next year it would be about close to 50-50.
okay. And sir, like one time implementation and recurring revenue, could you give me a breakup in terms of total percentage of revenue?
That I don't know I have, but I don't know what I can say as per the compliance.
Okay.
But I think I would say 5%, 5 to 7% will be one time. Okay, 5%. Yeah, I would say 5%, 5 or less than 5% on the total turnover. It will be one time.
And this implementation generally occurs at what time of the year?
No, it's every time a customer buys a product. That
Okay,
comes with
so.
say two things which is mandatory. One is the product and the implementation.
Okay.
There are two kinds of implementation we do. One is directly which coming from the customer where we pick up product. And we also have professional services. We are PS exclusive PS partners for the vendors we deal with. So the vendors where they have sold possibly in Delhi or Bangalore or even in Bombay in some of the customer. Okay, and since the partner doesn't have the expertise, so the vendor takes the order from the customer for implementation, and then they subcontract those implementation contracts to us. So they act as a project manager, and the rest of the entire implementation is done by us. So this is the indirect way of getting implementation projects one time. So there are two ways. One is directly with the customer, and one direct with the vendor.
Okay. And the increase in debtors you said earlier was because you could not bill them.
Correct.
Now that issue has been resolved.
That is,
So,
this is one time happened in the history of Meta, so just ignore.
okay. So we have realized cash from those
Oh
debtors.
yes, we have paid everyone. We have paid the vendor, everything's sorted out.
Okay. So typically H1 next year would have lower debtors. Now this is one-time case.
Yeah. This is a one-time incident. Yeah.
Okay. And secondly, on the expansion, Pune, Hyderabad, Bangalore, as you said that you are also a salesperson. So how would you target new companies for cyber security? Like what is your strategy to get new customers from those centers?
See, we normally target top 15 to 25 customers max.
Okay.
Every city will target initially 1 year, first year we'll target only 15 customers, the top ones.
Okay.
We always take the top-down approach.
So any pipeline that you have,
We do have a pipeline which I can disclose, of course, but even though we are going to achieve certain numbers this year, but I'm not considering that, not counting that right now, but my numbers will come next financial year from these locations.
Mr. Jain,
we have been working on this for quite some time, by the way, so not to worry.
I'm sorry, Mr. Jain, we would request you to please return to the queue for the participants to get their turn. We'll move to our next question. That's from Pawan Kumar of Ratnatrai Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Venu.
Yeah, hi.
I wanted to understand basically how is our customer diversification in terms of revenue going on? Because I understand from your RHP, there's a huge concentration in terms of customers. So what is the plan regarding that particular point of view? And have we been able to penetrate into any other such big accounts? Or is our strategy like we will stay with this kind of concentration going forward?
No, because till now it has been 80-85 concentration on BFSI, right? All uh-huh. Because the reason is because BFSI is governed by RBI and RBI has clear directions. It's mm-hmm. mandatory for banks, BFSI customers to have certain cybersecurity. There is a guideline. Mm-hmm. And it is not good to have, it is must to have. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have those kind of technologies, your license can be cancelled. And they have the money and the requirement. So the top industry for any cybersecurity company to launch or to excel is BFSI first. Then mm-hmm. the next ITS companies comes in like TCS, Infosys, and all these companies, Cognizant, and all these other companies will come in next line. And then the rest is manufacturing and, rest of the pharmaceutical manufacturing. All is, every other category is the third category.
No,
also increasing our presence in other industries.
Yeah, but my primary question was on a single customer concentration. I'm not talking about BFSI as a whole. But I'm talking about a single customer concentration. I mean, for example, to be direct, do we have...
Yeah, I understood.
Yeah.
Okay. So that is not... Because this is just an incident. As I said, this is the second largest deal in the world. Okay. It just happened. It happened once in a lifetime. This kind of thing. So if you look at the numbers, obviously you look at, we are only concentrating on ICSA Bank. We have, but it's not only one contract we have. We have multiple contracts with ICSA Bank.
Okay.
With different technologies. We have, in the entire ICSA group, we have about close to 100 people managing their infrastructure.
Right.
Okay, so it's not one technology.
Mm-hmm.
It's multiple technologies we are managing. We are managing at least today, we are managing about 8 to 10 technologies.
Okay.
The similar can be replicated, but not at this level. This kind of deals will never happen again, ever. Okay, let me tell you that. But there are other banks, Access, HDFC, Kotak, Yes Bank,
mm-hmm.
IndusInd Bank, IDFC Bank. We are everywhere. We are expanding.
Okay.
Maybe we are in a very small scale, not small scale, but like we are in a decent scale. Now we are expanding there.
Okay.
So imagine, if you can imagine this, with only two vendors, we were growing at a rate of 50% year on year in the last 7 years
mm-hmm.
with just one or two vendors.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine the kind of growth we can have with adding another four vendors this year. And by next year, we'll add another four vendors. So we'll be 10 vendor company. So for us, adding a vendor it's a very difficult task. We don't add vendor until we have our own expertise, team, certifications.
Vendor or customer, Venu? What are you
talking about? Vendor.
You are talking about something like a Zscaler kind of stuff.
No, Zscaler is, we already a vendor. Today, like...
Yes, correct.
So we signed up with Proofpoint, okay? So Proofpoint, we don't sign up just like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we study their infrastructure, their market presence, their Gartner, Aspen Gartner, where are they? Okay. And then we build our team, technical mm-hmm. art, which is getting built up, certification, everything. We are already certified company for Proofpoint. We are not sold a single license yet, but we are certifying. There are 10 people who are dedicated for Proofpoint.
Okay.
Working on five such deals in one particular vendor. So for us, standing up with vendor is a big thing in Meta.
Mm-hmm.
So as I said, we are not a menu card partner.
Okay.
And, so,
got it.
Yeah, we also don't sign up competitive vendors.
Okay. Small thing I wanted to understand was, by when will this 520 crores of order book, by when is this executable?
It's mostly the 80% is about 70-80% is next 2 years.
Okay. And
but that will keep increasing. Okay. This is as and when it decreases, we'll keep increasing new projects, right? Because mm-hmm. every project is nothing less than 3 year contract.
Okay. And in H2, you said you might do 50% of H1. So, but since last year, margins were extraordinary in H2. So what are the kind of EBITDA margins that you can expect in H2?
This is the same.
As H1? Yes. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Pavan Kumar, could you please return to the queue, sir?
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
Oh, we still have more questions?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Either I'm not able to answer directly or they have too many questions here.
Our next question is from Naman Desai, an individual investor. Mr. Desai, you may ask your question.
Hello.
Mr. Desai, could you please unmute your microphone and ask your question now? No, we're not getting a response from Mr. Desai's connection.
No,
we will move to our next participant. That's Hemant K of Anandan Capital.
Hello.
Hi.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So just a couple of questions, sir. So basically, what I see from the presentation is you have 15 services or solutions, right? So can you help me understand what are the 5 services or solutions we have and what is their contribution in the overall revenue?
You have mentioned we have 15 solutions. Yeah, so different kinds of solutions.
Yeah, so for top 5 services or solutions, can you
SASE is our top revenue generator. SASE is a concept.
Okay.
Which consists of 5 to 6 solutions put together.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's the majority of our business. And the rest, we provide these solutions. Okay. But we don't scale because our concentration is on SASE.
Okay. And I see that we have 14 million as provisions. So I just wanted to understand what are these provisions for?
14 million. Okay. Provisions. What is that? I mean, Paresh, can you just understand, because I'm not a finance, I don't have a finance background, so I rely on Paresh.
Yeah, that's fine, sir.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So what are you saying, sir?
So I see the provisions of 14 million on the balance sheet. So that's what I just wanted to understand. What are these provisions for?
Yeah, these are different provisions, including the statutory provisions like gratuity and other miscellaneous, but the major part is the gratuity provision.
Okay, and one last question for Venu, sir, is,
yeah.
Sir, basically we are focusing mostly on services and not on the products, right?
Correct.
So going forward, what kind of revenue contribution you are expecting from services as against the products?
See, percentage-wise, I can't give you absolute numbers, but you can consider the percentage will remain more or less constant, or it will increase between the product and services, because products are bigger, because we deal with large enterprise customers, so our numbers are big. So that's why the services part, even if I do 50 crores of services as against 500 crores of turnover, for example, okay, the 50 we will look at is only 10%. Okay, but
yeah, because as an why I was asking
number,
is
50 crores services, yeah, as an absolute number is high, but
yes.
In lieu, or not in lieu, in comparison with the turnover, that will look smaller.
Okay, because I believe that we have better margins in services as against the products, right? So that's
product
why
is 7%. Services is anything between 50 to 300% is what our range is, services margin.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's all, sir. Thank you and all the best for the future.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from Naman Desai. Mr. Desai, your connection is unmuted, sir. You may ask your question now. There's no response from Mr. Desai. We'll move to our next participant. That's Vinay Lakhera of Ratnatraya Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Vinay Lakhera, you may ask your question now. There is no response as well from this connection. We'll move to our next participant. That's Abhishek Sharda from Hame Securities.
Thank you, sir, for opportunity once again. Just now you answered someone that the EBITDA margin in H2 will be similar to the EBITDA margin in H1.
See, anything which is there in the past, it will have the same similar range or better.
No, if H2 and H1 have similar EBITDA margins, then I think for the whole FY26, the EBITDA margins will be slightly on the lower side.
Okay, if you consider that, you know, see, I have not really counted my EBITDA margin for the H2, but you can consider 30 to 35.
Here you mentioned that it will be growth in
top and bottom.
And sir, also one thing about this ICICI order, that 120 crore is the recurring revenue. So is this a low margin order? That's why our
no, it's a decent. I cannot mention the margin, please. No,
I am not asking. Yeah,
So it's a decent margin. I won't say low or high. It's a decent margin.
EBITDA margin is also in the line of whole business. EBITDA.
No, I can't talk. I can't give numbers because then I'll be disclosing. It is not right.
So the lower EBITDA margin in H1 is mainly due to this employee benefit.
Yeah, of course. This year, please consider this year as my investment year on people and the foundation year for me.
Okay.
And the new set, especially after IPO, there's a new set of senior people who joined and possibly will be joining, and we have revamped the entire our strategy going for the next. So our strategy we are designing for the next 3 to 5 years.
And sir, in how many cities are we currently present, and what is our expansion plan?
So we are predominantly a Bombay-based company for the last 27 years. Okay, so only recently we have expanded in Pune, Bangalore, Chennai, Hyderabad, Delhi. We will look at next financial year, and then international business next financial year.
Yeah, fine, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was the last question for today. Oh, okay. I now hand the floor back to Ms. Sipiruri for closing comments. Over to
you,
sir.
Thank you. Okay. For your patience. And anyway, thank you for joining today's call. Okay. So should you have any follow-up questions or require any further assistance, please feel free to contact Stella, our IR advisors. Okay. And so I hope I have able to answer most of your questions. Something balanced. So please get back to us. And we're more than happy to answer.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, with that, we conclude this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now click on the leave icon to exit the meeting. Thank you for your participation.
Thank you.